Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know who he's calling right now?
Rosenhaus.
Sorry, this number has been disconnected. Please try again.
Drew just sees AB, lets it ring.
Yeah.
AB lets it ring.
Yeah.
Or hits a little button that mutes it or whatever.
Yeah,
the hell.
No, you red button them.
Yeah, it's
are
it.
You red buttoning me? Did you just red button me?
Oh, this guy.
At least but he's not like bunkered down like it's like some, you know, crazy Midwesterner who thinks the world's coming to an end.
No,
right?
He's out roaming the streets, which is far more scary.
I still think he's broke. That's why he can't pay the damn movie company.
That may very well be.
I was more excited for the other side. The fact that it was like they were coming to take all his stuff.
No, he's saying, he's telling you he's got a whole lot of money.
He got nothing.
He would not write a song about a whole lot of money unless he had a whole lot of money.
He could pay like 20 grand and get rid of like 10 lawsuits. He owes people like $1,500. No, I don't think he's got anything. The only thing that would have been better is if it was a repo truck, taking all his furniture, taking everything he owns out of that house because he's done. Because he's lost in lawsuits or he's got no more money. He started taking his stuff. But apparently, that's not the case. It was really, I don't know, it's his stuff. Where did he move? Where did he move from? Oakland? There's some stuff out there or something?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's
but apparently, they're saying that the driver of the truck was injured. And he was throwing rocks at him. Last week with his he was throwing a bag of gummy penises at her. Remember that? So he probably should have done it to the driver here today. Because can they really get you for battery if you're throwing gummy penises?
Yes,
a bag
you can.
Of them at a, can you?
Sure you can.
Anybody see my friend Antonio Brown?
No, Gruden. You tried, Mayock. You tried.
What a mess.
I mean, Mayock's probably said, hey, maybe I got a case now. Yeah, maybe I should go back and rethink this whole AB situation.
And we're talking about a guy that you could have argued a year ago was as good a receiver as there is in the National.
Now, when you
Football
think about it, in the end, was he worth it? Was it worth even flirting around with AB?
No, apparently
he's just
not.
So unbelievably unpredictable and just reckless.
But the talent is so
can't
good.
Trust him.
Yeah, the talent is so good. Here's the question: do the Patriots get hit for the bill? Do they have to pay the $10 million?
That's right.
Because he's going to fight for it, especially if Lou's right. And if he's got no money right now, he's got to fight for that.
We all think they're going to. I don't know. Does his actions off the field, does it help their case whether they have to give the money for a signing bonus or not? Like with what he's doing right now, can they go, look, see, we should have to pay him. Look, he's losing his mind. They're like, well, that's got nothing to do with what you agreed to pay him on a signing bonus. I don't think this has anything to do with the New England Patriots.
Well,
they're going to give it up, they're going to give it up.
But it'll
have to pay them.
It'll go to court. It won't be a matter of the NFL. I mean, if it goes to the NFL, maybe the NFL sits there and says, you didn't adhere to the conduct policy or whatever. I don't know. But if it goes to court and he goes and hires an attorney and says, that was a signing bonus. They were supposed to give me the bonus when I signed my name on that contract. They need to give it to me. I think he's got a pretty good case.
Absolutely.
And,
that's what I mean.
And
I don't think this, you think this stuff has got anything to do with his case?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
I mean, he's a walking, talking nightmare. I mean, it's just one problem after the next. In the end, he's going to be broke. I mean,
he will be broke. There's no question.
So, what's his earning potential outside of
cameos? Cameos.
No, outside of cameo. How is he going to make money? Who's going to hire Antonio Brown?
A train wreck reality TV show.
That's what's next. Like that's the real life.
Whatever.
You can call it train wreck.
Well, perfect.
Yeah.
But, I mean, something like that. That's about it. And it sucks because this will really, really test it. Because we've always felt, at least I've always felt, some of these guys, whether it's domestic violence, whatever happens, whenever you get suspended, are you going to play football again? Well, tell me how good they are. Because if they're not good, if they're Ray Rice, then no, he'll never play again. But if they're a good football player, if the team thinks that they can help you, you can help them win, then he'll get a job. Somebody will bring him back. Now, he might blow it again for a second time, a third time, whatever, but somebody will give him a job, which is why I'm still sticking with that. Somebody will give him a job next year.
This guy?
Because he is that good at football.
No. And I would say that, you know, with Ray Rice,
he's trying.
It is one singular moment.
He's trying to make sure he never plays again.
One incident where he completely got out of line and he paid his dues. He actually actively went out there and tried to make a difference. Tried to, you know, show an act of contrition. Tried to do the right thing. But you're right. He wasn't good enough. If he was Adrian Peterson at the time, he would have come back. If he was Michael Vick at the time, he would have came back. Somebody would have paid him. Each had one incident that they had to apologize for. He's got a long track record of just nuttiness, I mean, recklessness. I mean, you can't trust him. You cannot trust him. So he leaves the complex. He leaves the facility. And you can't sleep at night because you have no clue what Antonio Brown is going to do. You're probably sleeping with your phone on mute because you know it's going to blow up. And you have to be able to say, well, I didn't hear the phone.
I thought after the situation in New Orleans where he duped them, where he showed up, they thought he was legitimately looking for a job. They were looking for an insurance policy for the postseason in case, you know, Thomas got hurt. And he makes it all about him and makes it a video and does a music video with it. And it was all a put on. There's no other team that is going to bring him into camp because they're going to think they get duped. He doesn't want to play football. He wants to be a social media star. He wants to be whatever, an entertainment star. He wants to be a Kardashian. He doesn't want to be a football player. But let's look at the season, Patriots season, for all the problems they had, offensive line, injuries, no tight ends, young wide receivers, Tom Brady having difficulty communicating and getting on the same page with all of these kids. If Antonio Brown had his head screwed on correctly, would the Patriots be still playing football?
Yes.
See, I think they would too.
I think they would. You're telling me they couldn't have scored from the one with him in some capacity?
Exactly.
No, they.
We're talking about this entire season, and you know, a couple of people sitting there going, "Why are you talking about AB again?" Because AB was the biggest factor in this Patriots season. If we want to call it a failure. Okay, most circles they'd call it a success, but in this town, we call it a failure because you didn't get to the Super Bowl. That is the one biggest factor that they're not in the Super Bowl here a week from Sunday in Miami is Antonio Brown.
I would agree. He's got that burner account thing working again.
Already. Now what's he doing?
Well, 2 minutes ago, police bums out here.
Oh, Jesus.
And then a minute ago, F the police, stop us from working.
The police.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is that one, that Tav 85111115, whatever it is. Yeah, so he's still tweeting on something different, though.
You're the sports pope.
Nothing for, but I agree with you. I mean, it was, you know,
it's the biggest pope.
It's the biggest factor in the season.
It was. I mean, if you went into the postseason and Antonio Brown was on your football team and he somehow was able to keep it normal. You know, alongside of Edelman and a little side order and Sanu, you know, N'Keal Harry.
Sanu wouldn't have to be.
But I'm just saying, Sanu wouldn't even be here. He'd have a second-round pick next year as well. So not only did you lose $4.5 million in the cap, you lost a second-round pick because of Antonio Brown. Yeah, you would sit there and say, okay, well, offensively, yeah, maybe they can't run the ball as well as they once did, but they got the weapons. Defensively, good team. Absolutely.
They would be the number two seed. First of all, so they wouldn't have had to play that first weekend.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Maybe the number one seed. Who knows?
Maybe.
But
I mean, it's amazing when you think back at this, and we're seeing
they were lost to Tennessee.
As he's imploding right now. It is unbelievable. All right, let me get back to the phone calls here. It's 617-779-7937. Eddie's in a car. Hello, Eddie.
Subscribers is booming.
Hello, Eddie.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, Lou. This one's for you. I have finally come around to figuring out what you're talking about and what really is going on with Major League Baseball. Basically, they've let this fester. This has been going on for years and years and years, and it's evolved. It's evolved a little bit more, a little bit more technical. And basically, this has been going on forever, and now all of a sudden Major League Baseball wants to single out two teams and go after them really hard, but wants to pretend that nothing else happened anywhere else. So I'm starting to get where you're coming from, and basically they've allowed this to happen. Major League Baseball has looked the other way, and now they have this big issue on their hands, and they have trust issues. They have problems with the game, and I don't know where they go from here, but I understand where you're coming from now. I get it. I totally get it.
Well, again, the Astros thing was so public and so guilty. I mean, just trash can banging, videos of it, that, you know, there's a reason why. I mean, I forget who had the story first, but even like a year ago, I don't know if it was Passan or somebody wrote the story about speculation about the Houston Astros banging a barrel. That other teams have speculated on it. You know, and then the Yankees with the whistling stuff. Major League Baseball put people in the video room during the playoffs in 2018. Why'd they do that?
Because they knew they were cheating.
They knew it. They've known all this stuff. They've tried to keep it quiet. They hope the game can police itself. They also probably live by the don't be an a-hole rule. And I think the Astros are a-holes. You know, Alex included, as far as cocky and how the hell to run this thing, banging a barrel. They were guilty as charged.
To me,
but they didn't want to know about that. They just wanted to kind of move forward and every year send out a new memo in the hopes of, you know, maybe a phone call. Hey, cut the crap, will you? We know, we think this is going on. They wouldn't have done anything, just like they wouldn't have done anything if fires didn't come out. Meanwhile, they knew it was happening in 2018. That's why they put people in that room. So, and then once it got public, once they got embarrassed, they were forced to do something and they went nuclear. That's what happened. Because it's been going on. People have been speculating stuff for years.
Yeah.
And they've just never investigated. They've never looked into it.
See, the arrogance, I think, is the biggest issue. And I wouldn't say fear would be the issue, because if you have a good team, you have a good team. Maybe you've just relied on it, that aspect of your game, for so long that you didn't want to be without it. So even when Manfred came out and said, don't do it anymore, they still did it. Because to me, that's the biggest issue. Okay. There's a lot of crap going on. We're getting some bad press. Okay, just don't do it anymore. Stop. From here on out, no more.
So they sent the memo out.
Yes.
And they said, don't do it. If I catch you again, this is what I'm going to do to you.
Yes.
Why'd they put people in the video room in the playoffs?
So, hold on. But so what? It's irrelevant what they did. They still did it anyways.
No,
they kept doing it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't trust them.
And they caught them. Well, they knew they were doing it. So they put people out there. Yet, if they knew about it, they should have just came out and said, we got you. We're going to bang you this, and suspend this player and suspend this and coach and everything else. But even after sending out a memo, they realized teams are still doing it. So rather than handing out sanctions then, they just put an official in the room to try to get them to stop.
See, but wouldn't that...
They wouldn't have done anything, and they knew it was happening.
But to me...
Until fears came out.
But to me, Lou, that would have been the simple answer, okay? So all of these sports make a mistake. When they made a big, huge deal about taking air out of a football and later realized that there were all sorts of climate and scientific reasons why. Right. And then they also figured out that it really doesn't make a difference in the game. But the public had already been taught that this was a major violation. This was the extreme cheating. Major League Baseball just did the same thing with this one. So why didn't they just put guys in that video room? Because they know that they use it for other reasons. They use it to prep. The batters go in there to see their at-bat again. Why didn't they put somebody in there, a neutral person in there, and say, that's the way we're going to monitor it? In other words, when you have people speeding on a regular basis, what you do is you put a cop car out there, and people are going to slow down because they see the cop car right there on the right side of the road. But you don't expose it and sit there and say to the public, oh, my God, our business, we cheat. And we cheat all the time, and this is unbelievable. That's what Major League Baseball just did. They have enough issues in their game, and they just blew their game up.
Well, yes, and it's because of what fires did. They couldn't avoid it. They couldn't ignore it anymore.
But they like
to keep it in-house.
But you already said they already knew because they put the monitors in. You're right.
Yeah.
So why didn't we just put monitors in the first time they realized it was happening? What is that going to cost to put a monitor?
That's what I'm saying. They did. They tried to squash it. They didn't want to investigate it. They're not trying to clean it up. You know, they're trying to protect the game. They don't want something like this to happen. They knew what was going on. They didn't give out any penalties. And then Mike Fiers talked to the Athletic. And then they play dumb. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We told teams not to do it, and they continue to do it. Yeah, I know. You know, too. You know they were doing it, too. That's why you put people in there. And so because fires came out, now all of a sudden we're in the middle of a crap storm. Now what? Well, now we got to kill them. Now we got to go nuclear. That's we don't want to do this, but now we have to clean up our own ass.
Yeah, but how many people are you going to have to kill to clean it up. I want to go to Charlie in Arlington because he's got a really good question and we might have an answer to it. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, so two things. The first thing is, first of all, you don't need the instant replay cameras and monitors. If you want to ask for an instant replay, you use your eyes, you watch the game, you want a replay, you request a replay, period, right? Why are we asking someone to watch a replay and then ask for a replay of the replay that they just saw, number one? Number two, Lou, and I just wanted to ask you this question because I wanted to get your thoughts, is why do players need to go back into a clubhouse during the game? Because I would suggest that they not allow players to even leave the dugout unless it's a situation of an injury or something like that.
I think that might happen.
Because I don't see the need for a player to have to leave the dugout. So to me, this is so simple. You know, Major League Baseball could have done two very simple things. Eliminate the replay monitors, right? And limit the number, limit the things that would allow a player to actually go back into the clubhouse. And then the other thing that I just wanted to mention real quick, because I know you probably now need to go, is, I blame the culture of Major League Baseball because, you guys know, and you guys work for a company or a corporation. Corporations have an obligation, or a business entity has an obligation, to instill an ethical culture within that business, okay? And that lies with Major League Baseball. And then for Major League Baseball, each of those, was it 26 teams or whatever, it's 32. Each of those teams, the owners, the general managers, have an obligation to put in place an ethical culture. If that's training, making people understand, what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing.
You're getting quieter. Also,
We're losing you.
What's the question? They have a responsibility to do the right thing, and
I don't know. But he's getting quieter and quieter. Like, he was moving the phone further and further away. I don't like the whole stay in the dugout rule.
You might get it.
Okay. Let's just say me, for example. What do you think I do every game in the fifth?
Go to the bathroom.
Well, no, I might do that. Or I might go get jacket, a whatever. No, I lead the dugout because I like to go in the batting cage and maybe throw a baseball. I like to actually hit off
a
tee. I got batting cages down there. The designated hitter, what do you think he wants to do? He's not allowed to leave the dugout? He's not allowed to keep hitting? I'm not allowed to get ready to come in the game in the sixth inning, a seventh inning, a pinch hit? I can't leave the dugout?
No, I think it's a real problem.
Are we nuts?
But Drellick wrote about it today. MLB will have a revised policy addressing electronic sign stealing in 2020 that could produce significant change. Player use of video during games in any capacity, such as a review of at-bats, could end. More extreme, but perhaps more secure, is the possibility that players would have to remain in the dugout once the game begins, barring exceptions for injuries and bathroom breaks. Once in the dugout, they stay in the dugout.
Rehab? How about me, having a tight hamstring or a tight back? And I don't play that day, but I'm available to pinch hit. Well, I'm not going to sit in a dugout for 2 hours with a tight hammy and a tight back. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to get treatment. I'm going to get heat on my back. I'm going to get stretched out. I'm going to get ready to go in the game. Then I'm going to go the runway, in the batting cage. I'm going to run a little bit. I'm going to stretch out in there. I'm going to use a band to get loose, to go into the game, throw, hit. Can't do any of that.
No,
that'll never happen.
That's not going to work.
Not going to work.
No.
Except
the simplest solution is, just don't use it.
Yeah, but it's easy to say.
It isn't easy to say.
It is easy to say.
If
everybody's trying to get an edge. Baseball,
isn't it like a hot stove moment? Okay, isn't it? Listen, you want to learn your lesson? Hey, don't touch the damn hot pot. Yeah. Why? Because it's hot and you'll burn your hand. Right. You touch it anyways. Well, you learned your lesson the hard way.
But it doesn't work that way.
You just got punished. They just have these crazy fines and suspensions,
Christian,
for everybody.
Wonderful. Put everybody on the honor system.
The honor system doesn't work.
It doesn't. So Drellick goes on to say, players also greatly value access to not only the comforts of the clubhouse occasionally, but the current legal video tools, which you've talked a lot about, Lou. There are a lot of things you can do. David Ortiz would go and watch every single at-bat. He was a designated hitter. He'd go back and watch every single at-bat and figure out what the pitcher's doing. It may be regressive to ask MLB to put the in-game technology genie back in the bottle to take away tools that some players feel make them the best they can be. But I would not be surprised at all if the image that Major League Baseball has right now, they take away those legal tools.
And that's
an overreaction.
Here's what I think you need to take away. You need to take away guy at the plate, bang. Fastball's coming. That's what you need to take away. So you put a delay on it for 20 seconds. 15, 20 seconds, okay? There'll be no help with it in at bat, something like that happening, right? You can't relay it from the video room right to the hitter.
Okay, but hold on.
Because we're delayed.
Hold on. But the video room is also used by the manager to figure out whether he's going to challenge a call. He can't wait 20 seconds for that to come back up again and see the video replay. He needs to see the video replay instantly.
The video replay, though, the video that is in near any dugout needs to be on a 15-second, 20-second delay.
So we're going to have to wait around before you challenge?
The video replay should be up right next to the Nessun or EEI booth.
Okay.
Way up top there. The game feature, that should be the only one. Now, what that would do is a delay would create, there would be no Houston Astros situation. There would be no, hey, you know, bang, fastball's coming. Bang, curveball's coming. Is that going to stop? I don't care if I got a 15, 20-second delay. You know, I can watch that catcher and still see he's using second
sure
time.
Sure can.
So, but what's more important? You know, you're using video to steal signs. They do that after games. They do that before games. What I think you need to get away from and make sure it's not happening is the hitter at the box instantaneously, nobody on base, getting relayed from a video room right next to the dugout what pitch is on its way. They got to get rid of that. Nobody on. They got to get rid of that. Stealing signs, how they go about doing it live within a game. And what I don't know what to tell you.
So do you have
they can do it before the game. Okay. They can do it all night after the game.
So if you move your replay position up near the EEI and Nessun booth up there,
and you call up there, you look up there towards the booth every time.
Don't you have to have a monitor in there as well so that somebody can't abuse it?
Yeah.
You have to have a monitor sitting with him, somebody who's a neutral source who does not work for the ball club that is paid by Major League Baseball. That is going to sit there and monitor and make sure that you're not using it for illegal purposes.
Well, he's up there, so he's not going to have J.D. Martinez sitting up there in the fifth floor between innings with him.
You know, the funny thing about it is I read some of the stuff about Major League Baseball. Like, they did a major deal with Apple to put the iPad Pros down there in the dugout, right? So they did all these. So they've got all of these marketing ventures they have. So now they're doing a big thing with MGM, with gambling, right? So they do have to clean up all of this other stuff. So you get the technology involved, you get the gambling involved, and you got great questions about whether all of this is legit.
Well, you could improve technology in that, you know, maybe you don't need to go to the video room because the iPads have your at-bats.
Yeah, which they can easily download just like they do for football.
Yeah,
like,
right
there's
now.
There's all your stuff. You download it. There's no internet.
They can sit on the bench and look at my last at-bat right there on my iPad. I don't have to go to the video room to look at my iPad.
And then Microsoft can make, Major League Baseball can make a bunch of money with Microsoft.
So my understanding, though, is that the way the iPads work is that you download all of your information, your pre-game scouting stuff. Video is all loaded up.
Yeah,
the
video, maybe a relief pitcher that comes
correct.
In. So not only do I know what he throws, correct. I actually see what it looks like.
So that's what you see when you see Mookie Betts coming
up.
It is. And a guy's coming
seems
out
like
of the bullpen.
Cheating to me.
See, that's the problem.
I mean, honest to God, I can easily
see. No, but
see,
that's the problem.
Well, you know what? Ted Williams didn't have that.
No, he didn't.
Didn't have that at all.
We had a book.
Never had it.
And we would open it up, and it would have all the scouting report in print.
You have a picture of the
guy?
You
know, like the box. And
did
like,
you have,
I'm
did
just
you
saying, like the box, all the quadrants, where he likes to throw, counts, what red, green, blue, you know, different. You know, he likes to throw this pitch a lot. It's red, certain counts, 0-0, 1-0, lefty, righty, game, you know. Guys in scoring position, it was on a sheet of paper. Now they have iPads.
Well, did they have, you know those books where if you turn the page really quick, it looks like he's doing something? You
know, like
a flip book, right? Is that how you got to tell what the guy, what his throwing motion
No, we couldn't
like?
Tell. You know, we didn't have a flip visual book. Of it. That's flip why you had book. To see it. I know what the guy throws, but I haven't seen it yet. These guys, you know.
They can see it.
I bet you they don't even like that. I bet you there's pitchers that are, hey, they should be
able
to see it.
The batters love it, though.
Well, I'm sure I would love it.
Especially if you've got a guy that just came up from the minor leagues. You got no idea what he throws.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As he's warming up, Mookie Betts is standing there with a coach, and they're watching the video. This is what he does.
It.
This is his motion. This is his arm motion or whatever. Now, the one thing you can't do with those the iPads that are in the dugouts now is they do not have an internet connection. So you can't hook them up. But you're telling me that somebody hasn't...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Played around with a little Wi-Fi.
Can't play Fortnite. You can't do it.
Somebody's probably done something with them, right?
Well, they may have tried, but I mean, that would be cheating, Glenn.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, cheating in baseball. Here's Rick and Waylon. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I just had a comment, I guess, about AB. You know, it seems pretty evident to me. I'm no psychologist or psychiatrist, but the guy's mentally ill, and I think it's really sad. I remember about a year ago or so, there was a 30 for 30 on ESPN about some athlete that had hit the skids and was living on the street. And, you know, the woman, Shelley, I forget her name, but she tried to approach him because she had known him and he wouldn't even talk to her. And I wouldn't be surprised if that, you know, AB ends up living under a bridge in 4 or 5 years. I
mean, like Delonte West right now. Yeah. No, his agent.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. It really is sad. So I know it's good content and good stuff to talk about, but, you know, I kind of feel bad for the guy whenever I hear it.
Yeah. I get it. I think we all feel bad for him. And as we said, it could have been a huge difference, a different season for the New England Patriots. But you're probably right. Drew Rosenhaus, who stuck with him much longer than I thought he would, because really there's no money there for Rosenhaus, and there hasn't been for a while, right? Any team that was going to pick him up was going to pick him up for veterans minimum. And Drew Rosenhaus basically said, I'm not doing anything with you until you go out and get help. You got to go get help. So my guess is he's tried to get him help before, wouldn't you think? Rosenhaus tried to get him somebody to help him out, a professional?
I'd say Rosenhaus is probably – here's the thing. The sooner he's not our problem, the better.
You're talking about whose problem? Rosenhaus?
Antonio Brown. Like, just – I feel like we – it's like we're just – by accident or just whatever, we end up, you know, joining in – in this AB debacle.
Christian, it's the
this
biggest
AB life.
It's
There's
the biggest
chopper over his freaking house.
Christian, we just said it. You said it. Lou said it. Biggest factor in the Patriots not reaching their goal.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown, I'm sorry. You can't avoid it. I mean, what are you going to blame it on, Brady? We're going to blame it on what? Offensive line?
Of course
line.
Not.
If you
blame it on Brady.
So
he's got enough problems.
Even though you had problems with the offensive line, or Brady had trouble with the receivers. You could go through a litany of different things that we've talked about all year long. The number one thing is Antonio Brown.
Brown and Edelman. You're good. You let the other guys check in like they were supposed to. Just check in once in a while, not rely on them.
Well, the live video has ended that Channel 3 in Florida was releasing.
Happy ending?
No new news to report. I don't know. We'll wait and see.
So he still hasn't been arrested? He's still in there?
Well, I mean, I was watching this live feed.
He's tweeting out on his burner account, Tav.
I go back to this latest report from TMZ. Cops are actively working on getting a warrant for Brown's arrest. They're trying to convince the NFL star to surrender peacefully. So they just in his house, and he's just sitting on his couch?
No, he doesn't have a couch.
Well,
he's sitting in an empty room. All his couch is on the truck.
No, I think all the stuff is in his house. I mean, he's been there for a while.
Yeah, I think he's been living there.
So I don't know what's in the movie truck. I have no clue. All I'm saying is he's just sitting in the house and the cops haven't left. And they're like, all right, we're going to get a warrant for your arrest. You can come with us now peacefully. And he's, nope, I'm not going. They're just hanging out. I saw that Cameron Smith and ESPN come out and say that there's going to be a briefing at 7 p.m. down in Hollywood. The police department will brief him.
And those Hollywood police just hate him right now. They just despise him. He's not getting
he's
a break.
He's regretting that one.
He's not getting a break from them. George is in Boston. Hey, George.
Hey. So, I got some news yesterday about this Justin Verlander burner Twitter account.
Yeah.
Did you hear anything about that? I read about it on Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of talk around. I wanted to hear your guys' take on it. You know,
was that
real?
The niece?
What's going on with that?
Hold on, George. Was that the niece?
No. This was just a Jonathan 12345 or what it was. People were
creative.
Everybody that creates stories about like Verlander. Oh, I thought he wanted to clean up the game. And it was like Justin showed up mid-season while it was going on. He was a new teammate. What'd you expect him? You know, and it was just tweet after tweet justifying, you know, Verlander. Like, it was a position player thing, and don't know if you expected him to. You can't question his World Series. He had a 1.70 ERA in the World Series, and he's still a great pitcher. He won the Cy Young, and so it was all about. It was obvious that if it wasn't Justin Verlander, it wasn't his wife. It was somebody very close to Justin Verlander trying to defend him.
Now where's Verlander?
The account was opened in January of 2020.
Where is he?
I think it's zero followers. I don't think it was following anybody.
Oh, my God. I mean,
it was hysterical, some of the stuff that was said on it.
That's an interesting one, George. I would say this. Verlander has been a guy that is talked an awful lot. And he made a big, huge deal in Detroit in 2017, the year that we're talking about, where the Houston Astros have just got nailed on that season. So he was bitching about stealing signs when he was with Detroit. Suddenly he goes to Houston. He's part of that team. He knows what's going on, right, Lou? He's a pitcher, but he's got to know what's going on with the hitters. If you're around that team, everybody knows. And he says nothing. And now he's very, very quiet.
I saw some of it. It says, The Score sent out a tweet about Verlander back in 15 about cheating. Everyone commenting on this needs to understand that one guy cannot stop an entire cheating system, especially when he arrived after it started. New team, new teammates. He's supposed to speak up to those guys? I don't think his 1.07 ERA once he was traded to Houston helped at all. Not to mention he accomplished all after the 2017 season. He says maybe, just maybe, the league and the Astros have told him to keep quiet and let things die down.
Oh, God.
And another one, he's probably trying to let his teammates, you know, the ones who actually cheated and used the scheme, to do all the talking for the team. So it's, it was back and forth, the whole thing. He's just this guy, I don't know, just Jonathan 12345. That account just opened up in January. It was just defending everyone commenting about Justin Verlander.
Yeah, it's a little sneaky when you do that. I don't know how these players in Houston are going to be able to be quiet about it. They keep on saying, we're moving on. We're moving on. Nobody's taking a fault for it, right? Nobody's sitting there saying, I feel remorseful. And that's where Alex, I think, blew it. Why did Alex sit there and tell the Red Sox, I feel remorseful and I did it? Did any of the players down there in Houston, they don't seem to be doing any of that. So they're walking
away. Those players are running and hiding. They don't want to talk to a reporter all year long.
Player-driven.
Know.
So player-driven.
They're probably told to just say, listen, the MLB investigated the report. Astros made a decision. Go with that. We'll move on. This will pass. We'll go play baseball in a couple of weeks. So they just sound like absolute idiots in the process, but they can't come out and admit it. I mean, honestly, I don't think that they can come out and admit it, even though we all know they did it. It's sort of like a pitcher hitting a batter on purpose. We sit there and say, why don't you just be honest? Why don't you just come out and say you did it?
I don't know what you're talking
and then
about.
The pitcher comes out and says he did it, and he gets suspended 15-20 games for admission.
Yeah, they find him
when everybody already knew
and
that he did it on purpose. So you're better off just sort of dealing with it, looking like fools, and trying to get onto the season.
I think the MLB addressed the report.
Sure.
And
we don't have to do it.
I think the Astros addressed the report.
We don't have to do it. It's not on us. It's on them.
This is actually going to be a real fun, entertaining season. I thought it was going to be a dud. And actually now, because I would not let up on the Astros. I would not let up on any of these players. I would ask them every single day. I mean, if there's going to be this whole witch hunt and, you know, and Alex Cora has to be the fall guy for this thing, he's the face of this thing, then I feel like these other guys need to answer.
See, that's my
answer. The tough questions. And the Astros made their decision as well. And
do you have any plans to address this?
The commissioner made his report.
See, that's my biggest problem with it, that a few guys are going to have to take the fall. And it could destroy their entire career and their entire lives. I mean, I don't know if Alex Cora is ever going to manage again or be in baseball again. I don't know if A.J. Hinch is going to be in baseball again. Who the hell knows? Maybe there's a lot more that gets exposed here in the days and the weeks and the months to come. But the fact is that so many others were involved in all of this from years past, and nothing's going to happen to them. And the commissioner thinks we're just going to move onward. So we're going to take out a couple of prisoners, okay? We're going to take them out, and then everybody else walks scot-free. I got a problem with that. All right, let's get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tom Brady, though, was photographed talking to Mark Davis, and I have inside sources saying that they were talking for about 20 minutes down there. What could they have possibly been talking about? Obviously, they're talking about Tom Brady becoming the starting quarterback, and possibly assistant head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. John Gruden would absolutely love
to have the greatest of all time in his building. It's not just good for the offense. It's good for everybody to see what it takes to be great. I don't think he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders, but this is what Tom Brady has set up with his cerebral approach this year.
Pat McAfee, his cerebral approach. This is fascinating.
Hey, Coach.
He's going to be an assistant coach. That sounds to me like it is Mark Davis might have said it to him because he might have heard that Tom Brady would like to have more control of his offense.
Would it surprise you if this is how it went? There was a conversation. I would give him more control on personnel. I would give him more control on game planning and play calling and everything else. And he's like, oh, you give that much control? Yeah. I mean, essentially, you would be like an assistant head coach.
No, I think
he offered him assistant head coaching job.
Or, yeah,
you know what I mean.
I think it's more likely.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some confusion.
I think it's more likely that Mark Davis. I think you give Mark Davis the benefit of the doubt. Any guy that's got a haircut that bad probably has some other issues.
I'll tell you what. I'll throw in there. We'll name the stadium after you. Know, everybody will get TB12 liability bands. We'll serve everyone. No more food. No more beer. We're gonna sell avocado ice cream.
So.
Everybody will be a Brady number one fingers like you didn't get when you were a kid.
It wouldn't surprise me if they were talking about stuff, even though it's illegal to do so within the league. We all know what goes on. And Mark Davis probably heard that and said, I'll throw the assistant coach at him. If I'm Brady at that point, I'm sitting there going, do I really want to work for this owner? This owner's got no clue, and he's going to throw titles at me.
That's good that way. No, it's good. It's better that way. He has no clue. He stays out of your business. And if you like, do you think that does Gruden – and do they have a good relationship, Gruden and Brady? Those guys get along?
I have no idea.
If there's some. And
no
I will
clue.
Say
must
tell you
have
this,
spent time in the bus
Gruden
at one time.
Gruden will wear you out.
Yeah.
He will not shut the hell up.
Get
this
the
whole
f- on, Nate,
knock
let's
on
go.
Wood, this whole thing. It just gets old and tired.
Open mind, free thinker, bull. Get out of the thing, man.
It's complete opposite of Bill.
All right, so a couple things, because Vegas is one of the possibilities, right? Yep. Joe Namath. In a story, Rich Cimini in ESPNNewYork.com. This is Joe Namath talking about Brady. It's almost beyond my belief that he would go to another team under any circumstances. He considers Brady the greatest quarterback in NFL history. I can't imagine that separation. Moving out of the New England area that he's been so accustomed to and his family, that's a hard thing, too. I don't think he'll ever leave that totally behind. I really don't. Tom Brady today responding. Somebody put out a picture on Instagram of somebody writing in the snow on the common, stay Tom. And he responds, love you all. A couple little heart emojis.
So Namath says, I wish I knew what I learned in making that transition before making it, meaning it turned out to be a very difficult situation. I mean, transition. But here's the thing. He was beat up. He was old. He was ravaged by injury. He was breaking down. The Jets had drafted a quarterback in 1976 in the first round. His name was Richard Todd. There was a new coach coming in, and the franchise was rebuilding. They were completely changing, and he was beat the hell up. So Chuck Knox is over there in L.A. He says, will you come play for me? I'm Broadway Joe. Sure, I want to be in L.A. La La Land. It'll be good for my image. Sure enough, he goes out there, and he sucks. He's 2-2. He throws a ton of interceptions. He can't run. He can't walk. He can barely throw. And they don't play him ever again. And that's it. So to me, the situation is extremely different. 100% different.
Well, it's different than that.
And he was, hold the thing, he was 34 years old
right.
at this time, and right. he was beat up that bad.
Well, but he lived those 34 years twice.
He
was doing it in the daytime and then at night, right?
He was
exactly.
I forget who it was a few weeks back and said that how this is really different than, say, Joe Montana, Brett Favre, all these guys, you know, Peyton Manning.
It's a different era.
Well, it's different in that all those guys left with replacements right there. You know, I mean, you could argue Peyton Manning left, well, because they knew they were getting Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Right? They sucked for luck. Aaron Rodgers was there. Steve Young was there. This is different here. Like, if Garoppolo was still here, this was 3 years ago, okay, get Garoppolo. This is different. I don't think anybody thinks Stidham's the guy. The question is, can he be enough just if it comes down to it? So it's different, but they're not factoring in Bill. I don't think Bill gives a damn. You know what I mean?
You don't think he gives a damn if Brady's back?
No. What I'm saying is, like, I don't think Bill's sitting there saying, I could never let Brady go unless I got a successor. He'd say, no, if the time's for him to go, he's got to go. So it's not perfect. I don't have Jimmy here. The timing didn't work. But it's time to move on from Tom. We're moving on, and I can bring in anybody.
Yeah, I don't think he thinks that way, Lou. I think he either has an idea that maybe Stidham could be the guy, or he thinks Stidham, with some guy he brings in as a bridge guy, that Stidham's going to be the guy a year from now. Or he's got somebody else out there in free agency. I don't think Bill puts himself in a position where Brady goes elsewhere, succeeds maybe, and then he's sitting here and he doesn't have a replacement. Now, is he going to pay him an awful lot of money? I'm not sure he is. But I'm not sure. I still am not sure about this Brady elsewhere. So there's a story today. Daniel Popper, the Athletic, he's the Chargers beat guy. Should the Chargers sign Tom Brady? Let's weigh the pros and cons. I could tell you, and I've seen a couple of other articles out in L.A. about this with Tom Brady. There's no great enthusiasm out there by the media. Certainly not the fan base. They can't sell personal seat licenses. And most people don't seem to think that Tom Brady would be that guy. Matter of fact, this guy, Popper, makes a case that if Philip Rivers is not back next season in L.A., that's going to hurt ticket sales. Because Rivers is popular, even though he throws a zillion interceptions.
Yeah, they got a problem with him. And you know, I read the same article, and it talked about, you know, the cons would be the Chargers and the camaraderie and the relationship that Rivers has with the receivers.
Shaky offensive
Allen.
Line.
I mean, so fine. You fix that. And I will say Brady can fix that. But I didn't think that it would be the whole seat license, the whole selling suites and stuff like that was a big deal. But imagine if you have somebody on the hook. You have somebody that some it's going to be corporate people, right? It's going to be stars. It's going to be a lot of people with a lot of money because those suites are not going to be cheap. So you have them on the hook, and they're really not sure. And then you say, you know what? We're going to have Brady for 3 years. And I think that pushes those people over the edge, and they end up signing that personal seat license or whatever they're calling it out there, and they lock them up. And then if they don't sell out, they don't sell out.
I don't know.
But it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you this, Christian. There are so many of them available, and just what I read, they're already dropping the price dramatically lower than what the Rams are selling the exact same seats in the exact same luxury boxes.
This is your thing, though. I believe that they will have some success if they can sign. If they bring in a rookie quarterback, some young kid, I mean, who's it going to be? I mean, they weren't the worst team in the league, so they're not picking number one.
Can I tell you?
So they don't have that cachet, you know, out in the Bellagio in the Vegas on the floating barge where they can, you know, walk out there in the red carpet and put on a Chargers
hat.
And
by the way, Vegas does not have that problem. They're selling tickets out. They're having no problem with personal seat licenses.
I know, but that's the Raiders. Boxes. The Raiders is totally different mentality, totally different fan base that travel.
I think the Chargers, I want to say they're 10. You talking about pick?
Yeah.
Because I think they're talking about, like, the kid Herbert, whatever his name is.
Out of Oregon.
Yeah, that kid out of Oregon.
The quarterback.
Yeah, they're talking about getting him. Would you rather have him or Brady?
I'd rather build with a kid, I think. If I'm
both.
Can
I have both?
Guys,
that one report did say that Brady's looking forward to being a mentor. You buy that?
No.
Not really.
Like, you think Brady's going to go somewhere for a couple years and year one, they draft a kid in the first round so I can be his mentor? So what, year two, I can have the embarrassment of him taking my job like Eli Manning during week six?
Yeah, so I can get hurt and then also I can't run. They decide they want to do what happened to Marcus Mariota. They need a spark.
Yeah. Well, what I did with Drew.
That's possible.
I don't believe it, but it would not surprise me if somebody in a Brady camp were leaking something like that out, because I think most people, most teams, including the Patriots, would probably think just the opposite, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me.
So he might be trying to get that out because people may be saying, he may be already hearing back from teams.
Chargers
that sit there.
Sixth,
and,
by the way.
Sit,
yeah.
Six?
Oh, they're sixth.
Okay.
Well,
they'll be able to get that guy if they
what?
Want him. They're going to get a quarterback.
Looking from Oregon.
One.
There is at least 6 to 8 teams that are actively discussing Brady as an option, at least, and I say that for sure.
Oh,
this
I think there's
inside
no
source and all right, bump done.
There's no question.
There's those guys that are but before you would think. I mean, really, because Mike Reese did this whole thing. How many teams are there really? How many teams are really legitimately built in order to take on a player like Brady? They would have to have weapons. Give me a team that has. They would have to have a need. They would have to have the money.
Yes.
They would have to be in a desirable location. So, that is not a lot out there.
No. So let's start with the money, because I'm not saying that 6 or 8 teams aren't interested, but how many teams are willing to give him a 3-year deal? And that 3-year deal is going to be close to $80 or $90 million. Who's going to be willing? Because I agree with you. I think there are a bunch of teams out there that if Belichick passes on Tom Brady and you get past the 18th of March, they'd be willing to bring in Tom for 1 year and $32 million. I think you'll find those teams.
One year? Yep. It's not going to be 1 year.
No, I think you're going to have trouble finding teams that will want to bring him in for 3 years.
2 years.
Because if it doesn't work.
I don't know if two's enough. I think that's the problem.
I think three is the problem.
Team, you're going to have to commit to two and maybe a third year option.
Yeah.
And then you can play that dance.
No, I mean.
At 43?
No, but a 3 year deal with.
Guaranteed?
You know, two of them are guaranteed. Third year is an option. That might be. You think he's going to get three guaranteed? I don't. Now, there might be a team crazy enough to do it.
I think a team's crazy if they do that. I love him. I want him to stay here.
Think how quickly the whole situation. So Kirk Cousins is going on his third year of that big giant contract guaranteed that he signed.
$31 million this year guaranteed.
Look how quickly it happens. And I don't know if that's. I think that's kind of the comp. I think that's what he gets.
If you think
he's less of the man than he was 2 years ago, he's still a top 10 quarterback. Top 10 quarterback. Free agent, you want him for 3 years as a bridge, keep it going type thing with a younger guy that's controllable, easy money. That's what he's going to get paid.
Okay, Christian, can we be honest, though, with this thing?
No, let's lie
team,
about
a
it.
A team's going to give him a three-year deal. I like lying about it. Team's going to give him a three-year deal.
You're a baseball guy.
Team's going to give him a three-year deal at $80 or $90 million, and he gets hurt game four of that first season. We all know it takes a lot longer to get back out on the field when you get hurt like that. A team's going to do. I find it hard to believe.
Okay, but hold on. But,
hard to believe, and you're going to get walloped with all of that dead money.
Stop. If fear of injury is the only comeback that you have, like that's I can't give it to you because it doesn't matter.
Sure it does.
I would say he's missed 1 year. Go back and look at the games that he's missed,
and he's going to be 43.
Again, he's missed 1 year. And if that is the issue, if you think he's going to have a career-ending injury, okay, well, I mean, that could happen to anyone. If you think he's going to have a finger like Drew Brees misses five games, something like that, okay, that could happen.
Hit an elbow problem.
But you know,
you
can't
shoulder problem.
You can't foot problem. He could fall out of his car.
I don't know if you can use, you said Kirk Cousins. Cousins was 29 when he signed a three-year deal. 29.
You can't sign him for 3 years.
No, I'm just saying that my point is, like, I get it. But it happens so quickly. Next thing you know, you're on your last year of your contract.
But you don't think that's huge risk?
You think Minnesota has, they regret that signing him to all that money? He's been one of the biggest reasons they've been able to do what they've been doing. Now, you think Brady can do that same thing with a team that is built?
For a year?
Hold on. Fine, give it a year, whatever. Do you think that he can do exactly what Kirk Cousins can do? If Kirk Cousins is your ceiling,
I think there might be some teams that question that. That might wonder.
Sure. I think he's a great risk.
I'm just saying that the drop-off you've been seeing for the last year or two, if it continues, where am I at in year two of this deal?
He's 44 in year two.
Yeah, there's another drop-off. Now, some teams who love him and want him will look at the big picture and say, well, there was a big drop-off because the talent around him was ridiculous. It was not. He had one guy who got hurt. You know, our team's got a better offensive line. We can run the football. We can protect him a little bit more. I got a dynamic wide receiver and a very good tight end. He'd be more successful here. But I think it's risky because, you know, the Cousins thing is the risk with Cousins is I'm not sure if he's good, but I know he's 29. The risk with Brady is, you know, he's 43. I don't know how long.
I don't think you're going to. And they're going to sell it as he's never been hurt. He plays hurt. He can fight through all these injuries.
He's got great attendance.
He has a long track record.
Yep. But he's also 43. We're in uncharted territory.
Okay, so by the time he's done, he's 45.
Right.
That's 2 years. It's a 3 year deal with a. So it's 2 years, third year option.
43, 44, 45.
That's it. And then 45 is a little. Listen, because I would agree with you. The 45 thing. Listen, I love you, and I'll pay you up front. I'll pay you $60 million for 2 years. The third year, we're going to have a discussion.
So maybe the word is out there that he's willing to mentor somebody else because the only teams he's hearing from right now are teams that want to draft a young quarterback, and they want to have him as the bridge. But that also means that the bridge guy might end up taking over Tom Brady's job before that contract is complete. That's a possibility, and I wonder how he feels about that. All right, we got last call coming up next.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian. On Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing ass?
Thanks.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate that car. Help a child today. Schedule free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.org. We have an update on the Antonio Brown situation down there in Hollywood, Florida. Apparently, the driver of the moving van was attacked and assaulted by Antonio Brown. A second person was pulled from the cab forcibly, apparently by Antonio Brown. A discrepancy over the delivery payment. So there you go. And so they're trying to see if they can arrest Antonio and take him peacefully to the Hollywood police station, where he's not a big
I'm sure we'll have more news by tomorrow.
I'm sure we will. All right, we're moments away from the Hall of Fame vote. Mutt's going to have all the results. There's no question Derek Jeter gets in. He is going to be unanimous. If he isn't, then I want to revoke any person who votes against him. It's foolish. Larry Walker is in his 10th and final year of eligibility. Does he make it in, Lou Merlone?
I don't think he does. I don't think he gets in. To me, he's a borderline guy. I do laugh. I mean, the Colorado thing, the one that gets me, actually, I don't understand these voters. Did you see this thing with Peter Gammons?
No.
He's voted for Larry Walker in the past, and this year he left him off.
For nine
years? I think
years?
He said he realized that he only played, you know, more than 140 games like three times in his career or something like
that. How did that change in the last 10 years?
I don't know. Did he have a bad year? Was he bad last year?
He hasn't played in the last 10 years.
Like Colorado, Colorado, Colorado. Is Nolan Arenado a Hall of Famer?
Oh, it looks like that way.
He's played in Colorado.
I mean, you're telling me that's what they're holding against him? Make it
traded to St. Louis. We may find out if he gets traded to St. Louis.
Well, I'm just saying, he played in Colorado. I mean, the numbers don't count. You know, I don't know. Listen, if you think he's a Hall of Famer, forget about the numbers and call. I just don't know. And I do. I look at the games. I mean, the guy was hurt an awful lot. Was he an exceptional player? Sure. But didn't play every single day for a lot of times. And the way he played the game, I just don't think he gets in. I don't think Shill gets in. But I think Shill gets in next year. I think Jeter's solo.
Is a weak crop next year, right?
It's going to be Shill and the steroid guys, which I'm sure he's going to love. Shill, Clemens, and Bonds next year.
Wait, say that again, Tyler.
So Peter Gammons is retweeting pro Larry Walker for the Hall of Fame tweets, but did not vote for Larry Walker.
He wants
this
other
year.
People to put him in.
He doesn't want to get in.
He wants to get in.
And by the way, he didn't. His ballot wasn't full. The one like he had 10 guys and took him off because of his others. No, he had. I think he only voted for 7 or 8. So he had room to put him on. He just took him off.
All right. So the steroid guys move up the ladder. Do they get up to 75?
Yes.
They do.
Well, they move up, but they don't get to 75.
Right. But they get
close.
We'll
see. I don't know. Yeah. Just
get close. Because eventually, you got to put the steroid guys in.
Yeah, I hate the way Major League Baseball votes for this
stuff. I'm with you.
I hate it. I despise it. So one day you love this guy, and the next year you just have something changes, the wind blows in a different direction, and you change your mind.
All right, Mutt's going to have all the details momentarily. This hour brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic. So I take it, Mutt, you will be following all of the guys that go into the Hall of Fame here in the next few
minutes.
I'll
be one of them. It's going to be Derek Jeter only. I'm going to rant against idiots like Dan Shaughnessy who don't want to vote for Curt Schilling because he did some mean means back in the day. Said some bad things politically.
Well, Trump guy.
These
you know.
Effing idiots. Guys Trump like guy. Him. Guys like Mike Shalen, who are mad at Schilling because he collects Nazi stuff back in the day.
Well, he really this doesn't. He's not a Nazi
supporter.
But
he's not a Nazi.
Of course he's not.
Not a Nazi
supporter. Of course he's not. But right. He has Nazi paraphernalia, so he thinks he's a Nazi supporter.
Right. He's a historian of
it's stupid.
Well, I mean, have we officially heard Schilling say he's not a Nazi supporter?
Oh, shut up. How dare you? You know he's not. You know he's not.
I know
and by
he's
the way,
not.
Can I just, I want to publicly I know he's say
not.
This.
What do you that's mean, that little ornament in the front lawn?
You guys should know. So we're down there at MGM Springfield on Saturday. And Lou's doing a 3-hour radio show, and every single break, the guy hops off stage and signs every autograph possible.
Oh,
I wanted to text you
guy.
And say something.
Oh, nice guy.
I was very impressed. It was cool to see. You didn't. People were throwing baseballs at him up
autograph?
On stage. Well, that too is surprising. they're throwing baseballs on stage. He never said
like
no.
Like the kid
took
that was
every
throwing
picture,
at Bronny's kid.
Every selfie. He was the best. He was a star. He was the little mayor of our radio broadcast on Saturday.
Well, everybody knew awesome. Who he was. That's Lou Merlone up there.
No one wanted Bradford's autograph. It was weird.
Not surprised.
Yeah, it was
very
weird.
That's surprised. Should have wore the Bradford t-shirt.
That would have been a good branding thing. We'll start with the Hall of Fame, but a lot of Brady on deck tonight as well because Jimmy G versus Brady. Should they have made the trade? Should
ooh,
they have made the trade? Let's go.
They should have made the trade. You already cashed in. You cashed in with two Super Bowls.
Okay. We'll talk
you
about
that. You went in two Super Bowls.
Your show's
okay.
Over. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Boys, we'll see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Goodbye, Mutt Neck.
over. We suck.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.